Welcome to Season 2 of The Voice Behind the Pen, hosted by author and screenwriter S.C. Dickens. Before we move into this new season, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, following, subscribing, rating, and sharing Season 1. Keep sending in your feedback as it helps us get better at delivering a quality show for you all to enjoy. A special thanks to all of the guests from Season 1, Freeze, Tony Hale III, Mark Six Mitchell, Empress Rolanda, William Young, Keith Lakeen Powell, Victor L. Martin, John Alexander, Brianna Cole, and Marcus Massey. Thank you all for coming on and sharing your expertise, mindset, and wisdom. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send SC an email via the email link at www.theauthorscdickens.com. While you're on the site, be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services and other works on the store page. If you'd like to advertise on the show, or you'd like production work for any of your projects, send me an email at faxtheproducer@gmail.com. That's fax with a Z. So, as usual, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, S.C. Dickens. And tonight, I will have the pleasure of welcoming Lamont Petaway, a multi-talented individual whose creative endeavors span the realms of both writing and photography. Lamont is the author of the thought-provoking novel, Why Men Cheat, which dives deep into the complexity of relationships and fidelity. In this episode, I'll embark on his creative journey as Lamont shares his insights into the inspirations behind the novel. The central theme that dives into narratives and creative process that brought it to life. From exploring the motivation behind the title, Why Men Cheat, to diving into the challenge of tackling sensitive subjects with empathy and understanding, Lamont provides a candid glimpse into the world of his storytelling. As a seasoned photographer, he brings unique perspectives to his storytelling, drawing upon his experiences and capturing moments and emotions through the lens of his camera. So without further ado, let's welcome Lamont Petaway.
Good evening, Lamont. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good, man. How's it going?
Man, I'm good, man. I can't complain. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you coming on the show and showing some love.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
All right, man. So, you know, on Mondays, I interview an author, and on Wednesdays, I interview somebody in the movie profession, you know. So with today being Monday, I wanted to talk to you about your book. What inspired you to write Why Men Cheat?
It's a funny story, because actually, at the time when I wrote it, I was just sitting around a break room, Walmart, just talking to guys or whatever, and, you know, just talking about things that guys talk about why men cheat and what the stuff we do. And then women came in, they started talking or whatever, and somebody was like, you should write a book then. And that kind of sparked it, because I've never done anything like that before, and I was always interested to see if I could actually do something like that. And I just really got me a notebook, and I started writing, you know, a layout and here and there, and I would write in it now and then, have writer's block, don't write in it for a couple of weeks, go back to it, and after that, it was done.
Are there any characters or event in the novel inspired by real life experience?
Oh yeah, most of the stuff that I talk about there is experience from myself or experience from other people. It was kind of like a mesh of different reasons why a lot of men have said they do some of the things they do. So it wasn't all me. It was kind of like a mesh.
So with your background, I know you have a background in film and photography.
Photography.
So, what influence do you think that it had on your novel, being around men and women to hear different stories of why people cheated?
I think it was a great thing to be around, because that way you get different inputs. It's not just like from the male point of view. You get to hear females say why they think this and why they think that, and also the men. It gave a wider perspective on input on the book when I was putting it together.
Okay. How do you think you approach the portrayal of relationships and the dynamics between the characters?
Say that again.
How did you approach the portrayal of relationships and dynamics between the characters, if there are any?
Well, my book is more like a direct conversation with the audience that's reading the book. I wanted it to feel like, I wanted it to come across as somebody sitting there talking to you, to get like a real personal vibe. Versus, I don't like books that just kind of say things that just say what you want them to say. So I went at it more on a, you know, this is somebody I know talking to me right across.
Okay. So do you think that sets your book apart from similar novels on those subjects?
Yeah, because I think a lot of time books like that, they really just say what women, you know, a lot of time books like that, women are going to be the ones to read it. So I think that a lot of times they say things that they think women want to hear versus just being honest. I think most of the best, that's another thing that too made me kind of want to do it, because most people aren't really, for one, it's not no one reason why anybody does anything. It's always multiple reasons and different variations. So I just really wanted to give a viewpoint.
Okay. Can you share a memorable moment from creating the book?
I don't know. It was kind of hard at different times writing the book. I think the most memorable moment of the book in general was when it was done and my mother read it, and looking at my mother reading something that I wrote that was actually in book form was a pretty big moment for me. Even if nobody else would have got it, she got it and she was reading it. And to me, that was a big moment for me.
Okay. How did you handle sensitive subjects like infidelity with the readers?
I wanted it to be direct. I didn't really sugarcoat anything. I just pretty much put it out there how it is. And that way, when people read it, they could either agree or they could, but it's not nothing that you had to think a whole lot about the things that were said. It was pretty much direct. And that's the way I wanted it to be.
Okay. Can you think about the criticism that you got behind the book?
I don't remember getting any negative. I haven't gotten any negative reviews of it. Most people did like the fact that it was honest and it was direct. I think if anything else, it was the people that said I should have added this or added that. Because originally I was going to do another one, but I hadn't had a chance to get to that point. But a lot of people were saying that too. They really wanted it to continue. Because it's such a broad area of discussion that you just can't really necessarily get it all in at one time.
Mm. So what do you think that you missed out the last time that you didn't mention in the book, or that you think you should bring more light to it? And with society being the way it is with social media, what do you think that the dynamics of the book can change?
I think another thing I would probably add a little bit more of women's perspective, because this is more mainly from a man perspective. I personally feel like women can't really speak for men on why they do the things they do. And I don't think men can speak for women for the things that they do. I mean, you can speak on it because that's what everybody does. But I don't think you actually can really know what a person going through, unless you're a woman or unless you're a man. You're just giving your opinion. But yeah, I think the next time I would look more for the what the women think and what they feel is why men do that.
Okay. Can you share any insights on your writing routine or habits while you was writing the book? What did you do to stay focused after you got over your writer's block?
I had to force myself. I would force myself to make sure I got it finished. Once I had me how I wanted to put it out and stuff like that, I didn't want to start it and not finish it. So sometimes I used to lay on the floor when I was writing. So I would just lay on the floor and I would have it out had in front of me, and I would just, you know, I would start writing. Even if I didn't have all that I wanted in my head, I still would write down at least some viewpoints that I can come back to later on for different chapters. But I really wanted to make sure I stay focused, because, you know, you can easily start something and it sounds good, but then, you know, once you realize the work or whatever, then sometimes we often don't get back to it, and then we didn't end up finishing.
Okay. Do you remember how long it took you to pen the whole book?
It probably took me about a year to get everything done and together. I would say it took me a year to get all that together.
Did you create your own cover for the book?
Yeah, you know, being that I'm a graphic designer, so I went on and did everything myself. I laid everything out however they needed me to lay it out size wise, and I did a photo shoot for the cover, and then I just did it myself. And then I created it myself.
Okay. How did the models and everyone that's on the cover feel about the subject that you were going to touch using their likeness or their image on the book?
Well, they were fine, because the people that I used were people that I had already knew, and they was all aboard on what I was doing and supporting me for whatever I was doing. So they knew it was nothing I was going to put in there was going to be a bad light on them. So they were all in when I started doing it.
Okay. What are some common misconceptions about the photography industry that you like to debunk?
I think probably the most common thing that definitely gets used too much is people think it's easy, or they just think we just press a button. It's actually extremely a lot of work to be a photographer. From marketing to editing is a major thing that people don't think about. It's a lot of work. It's just not a one thing. When you press a button and then it's done, that's not the case.
Okay. Do you think your photography style has evolved over the years?
Oh, yeah. From when I first started, and this is going in year number 7, my photography has definitely grown a lot. When I first started, I was just shooting outside. I didn't really have a route, or I think a lane. I didn't have nothing that really made me stand out. But now I'm at a point now from my photography and using shadows and lights, and I create a lot of my setups and backgrounds. I like my stuff to be more creative, so the more creative thing has stuck with me a lot more.
Okay. Do you think that you would turn your photography into a book itself?
If it's something that would work, I have a Pictorial magazine that I put out every now and then with just images from my work. And it's not even something I push heavy. I just do it just because I just like to do it. And it's something I have in my studio for my clients to look at. But I've never thought about a book like that. That may be something that I could possibly do later.
Okay. And the reason why I asked that is because I'm going to let a little cat out of the bag. I did an interview with Lenny Santiago, one of Jay-Z's right-hand man. And he's getting ready to put out a book with photography that he took with a bunch of celebrities while they were on vacation. So just, whoa. You know, I didn't know if that was something that you would have thought about or photographers think about, because I think he said he started out taking pictures and that's what gave him the idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
that's a pretty dope idea when you have that kind of access to people too. Yeah, definitely use it.
So how do you balance the commercial work with your professional photography projects?
My stuff is, I try to, being the fact that I try to do a lot of different things, I try to keep an even balance of what I'm doing and what I'm promoting, so people can see that I do a variety of things. Because people can often just look for the first thing they see, and then they don't know you do this or you know, sometimes people think I just shoot models, but I do maternity shoots. I do family portraits. I do events. So, yeah, that's one of the hard parts, is you got to be able to keep that balance of showing your work so people can know what you do. But I think I do a pretty good job, but I don't know. I want to get better, because I don't want to have 4 or 5 different pages. I just want to have one page that people can see all my stuff.
Can you discuss the role of redemption and forgiveness in your novel, if there is any, or advice for redemption?
I don't know. I think that in my mind, it's not necessarily redemption. This is more this acceptance of, or not really acceptance, more of an understanding of why people do what they do. Not to justify it, by no means. It's not nothing that's just justifying, but it's just giving a viewpoint so people can just really just look and understand why people do some of the things they do, good or bad. I think there's a reason behind everything that we do. And even with that, it's reasons behind it. Like I said, whether you agree with it or don't, it's still, there still was a reason why it was done. So I think sometimes when you when you understand why people do what they do, I think it helps out a little bit more.
Okay. What motivates you? Since I know you said you have writer's block, what motivates you when you don't have clients to take pictures of to continue to take photos?
Well, my bills, for one, because I do photography full time. So when I don't have clients, I do try to stay busy on marketing or doing something else that will allow me to get clients in other ways. That's one thing too. You got to stay busy. If you don't have clients, if you go a week without clients, that shouldn't mean you have a week of not doing anything.
So what do you do when you don't have a when you don't have a gig to do any photography?
I try to stay busy. Even when I don't have nothing, let's say I got a week and I don't have any photographers, photo shoots. I'm still going to work on my marketing. I'm going to, do some research on some previous things I want to do, reach out to some people possibly. I still try to stay busy. There's never a time where you should not be busy just because you don't have no clients. If you don't have no clients, then you should be working on getting some more clients.
Okay. Can you think of a photo shoot that stands out and will remain memorable in your mind?
I got so many that I like, but I guess if I had to pick one, I probably would pick my very first one, because that was the shoot that made me decide if I was going to stick with it or if I was just going to do it for fun or just do it one and done. So I would say my very first photo shoot, when I didn't have any idea what I was doing at all, outside shooting, like I said, not having any idea, fast forwarding it to now, that I will be doing it for full time.
Now, I know you discussed the fact that you had thought about doing another book. Would you go off base with your next book and do a fiction or a nonfiction? Or would you stay close to something emotional and something like Cheating Again?
I probably do something more fiction, nonfiction, just because I enjoy writing when I have time to really do it. And I think I'm pretty good at it. I just have to stay focused and really do it. I used to write sitcom scripts and a little bit of movie things that I used to like, but I haven't done that in so long. But I probably would get something like that could be transferred into a maybe a show or maybe a movie, even with everybody putting stuff on Tubi. You have opportunity now to see your work done in different ways, good or bad. It's still going to be out there to be seen, and I think that's pretty cool. So I definitely wouldn't mind seeing something that I've written going live. I think that would be pretty awesome.
So do you think that's another hat you'll put on?
I think so, because I'm going to be taking a little break from my fashion shows and stuff like that. So that would open up a window for me to be able to do that kind of stuff. I think the main thing is just having the time to sit there and write, with me making my own schedule, I guess I do have that time now. But I really want to be able to focus on it so I can do it right.
Okay. What type of work would you stay away from if you did go into film?
I don't know. I think I would be open for everything. I think everything has a purpose, and I think everything has an artistic purpose. It just depends on how you look at it. Whether people can see it as you see it, it doesn't really matter. I think everything in film is considered an art form. Because you have to take time to put it together. You have to take time to write it, produce it, this, that, and the third. From adult films to sitcoms on TV, it's all a form of art. And I think people it's for some people and it's not for other people. But I think I would be open to anything. I don't think it's nothing that I really wouldn't just say right offhand.
Okay. What do you think about remakes and reboots and this whole new generation of wanting to recreate an original?
I hate it myself. I'm not a big fan at all. I was very against the whole entire Color Purple remake, reboot, whatever it was. I knew that it was going to fail, and it didn't do well in the box office because it didn't need to be done. I think that sometimes with black things, they think that they can remake stuff like that and black people will automatically go see it. But that doesn't always work. You don't never see remakes of Casablanca or Gone with the Wind or some of those classics. I mean, there are classics for a reason. So you go back and watch the classics. Show your kids the original Color Purple. We didn't need a Color Purple musical or whatever. And that goes for a lot of other things. I guess they're running out of ideas, and that's why they want to bring everything back. But none of that stuff really works when you bring it back. No, I don't think I can remember anything that has gotten a remake or whatever that was as big as the original. I think they keep on trying it, but I don't know too many times that it's actually happened. But, you know, I guess they just, I think it's cheaper for them too, even though I think they'd be losing money as well.
Okay. So if you had an opportunity and a chance to change, to make Why Men Cheat into a movie, would you do it?
Oh yeah, I would love to make that into a movie, and more of a, it'd probably be more of a comedy than anything else, because I think people like to see truth in comedy versus a drawn out drama. Even the way I written the book, it definitely was written in a it would definitely be a comedy if it was made into a film.
Okay, who would you get to play the characters if you had to do a pitch deck or a dream sheet? Who would you think would be the perfect characters to play?
Oh man, that's kind of interesting. I think if I had to make a lead for that, I might would choose somebody like Idris Elba, only because nobody has seen him in a lot of comedic roles. Women love him.
I don't think they'll be mad at him after the fact, and like never like, you know, sometimes people do roles
like the black guy from Married with a Mad Black Woman. People still mad at him to this day for doing that. But I think with Idris Elba, the people could understand his entertainment. Michael Ealy would be another guy who I think would probably work, just because, you know, women love them. They're attractive guys. They would be a good draw in. I think I would start with those, with characters like that.
What message would you hope that movie would give the audience?
I think I would have wanted to give the audience the understanding of, like I said before, everything has a reason. It's just not one thing. It's just not like, oh, women cheat because of this, or men cheat because of that, or they do this because of this. It's never one thing. Everybody is made differently, and everybody do things for a reason. So I would want to see a broader vision or broader perspective from other people when they look at the subject matter.
Okay. If you had an opportunity to work with someone in film or someone to write a book with, who would it be and why?
If I had a combination, it probably would be maybe Shonda Rhimes. I think she's such an amazing writer. She's an amazing writer, and like all her stuff translates so well to TV. I think she's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time, of a writer when it comes to sitcoms, or not sitcoms, but when it comes to like dramas and TV shows. I don't think nobody can really see her female wise. I think Stephen J. Kendall and Dick Wolf. I mean, you got some heavy hitters that could be right up there with her, but she's definitely got to be in the conversation. So I would love to work with her or see how she could take something that I wrote and elevate it.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, can you share some advice with some photographers on marketing and promoting their work?
Yeah, I think that you have to, with like social media, you have to stay consistent. You have to consistently keep your content going and not just, you know, get lackadaisical with it. Because that is how social media works. Having a website is great too. But you know, a lot of times people don't even have a website now. They may use, you know, social media like that, but really, really just staying consistent. You really got to consistently put your work out there.
Can you share with everyone a pitfall that you fell into when you were starting out?
I would say doing too much stuff for free. When you first starting out, of course, you're trying to get your stuff out, so you will do stuff for free. But when you get to the point where you can't be afraid to charge people, you can't be afraid to charge people what you think you're worth. I think that was the hardest thing. I think I went a good long time before I even charged anybody anything. But at that point in time, I was learning. But then when I got to a certain point, I was like, you know, I got to start charging people because none of this stuff is cheap. And I wanted to make a living out of it. So you can't be afraid to charge people what you think your work is worth.
Okay. Can you share a day and the life of a photographer so that people can get a full understanding on why you charge the price that you charge.
Oh, man, from waking up to editing, like, I mean, I have three photo shoots I have to edit now before I have two to tonight. So I'm staying current, marketing and promoting, telling people about your business, having clothes with your logos and stuff on it, word of mouth, keeping a positive vibe around yourself, making sure your clients are happy, hours and hours of editing, understanding that the customer is right, but you can be honest with the customer, make sure you have good communication with the customer, being open to what they want, understanding what they want before you actually shoot with them, you know, have it set up for what they're expecting you to do, and the time frame as well, let them know what time they can get the pictures back and make sure you get those pictures to them in that time. Oh man, it's a lot.
Okay. How hard is it to work with some of your models?
I think with me, I have a good time and an easy time because most of them know how I am. And if they don't know how I am, they learn quickly how I am. I keep a fun atmosphere because I want everybody to be comfortable, because a lot of times people will be nervous in photo shoots. And if they're nervous in a photo shoot, you're going to be able to tell that in the shot. So you always want to make sure that they feel comfortable. But I think I have a good rapport with the people that I work with, especially my regular people that own my content models. We definitely work well together.
Okay. How hard is it to know the right positioning, the lighting, and everything for a photo shoot?
Again, that's another thing that's very hard, because you have to learn how to do it. You just can't just automatically just know how to do it. You got to research. You got to watch videos. You got to work with other people that offer classes. You got to do a lot, because a student shooting inside and shooting outside is two different things. And it's very hard to shoot inside. I was afraid for a long time to shoot inside until I finally, got over it. And now I have my own little home studio. But it's definitely a big difference.
Okay. So in closing, do you have any last comments that you would like to say or share with the audience?
I would say that, you know, if you got something you want to do, just make sure you truly, truly, really want to do it. And if you truly, really want to do it, don't let nobody discourage you. Don't let nobody tell you you can't. Don't let nobody tell you you're too old to start doing something now. Don't let no negativity come into whatever it is you want to do. But just know that it's work and it's not going to be easy. And if you accept that it's work and it's not going to be easy, then it's not one person on this earth that can stop you from doing what it is that you want to do.
All right. Can you share your contact information, social media, on how people can get in contact with you for possibly a photo shoot or even a book signing?
Everything. Majority of stuff I use on my Facebook, which is Lamont Johnson, or you can also hit me up on my Instagram, which I also do get a lot of contact there, which is One Click, spell the word out, One Click Photography Shoots with an S. And you can see a lot of my work there. And this everything I got going on. That's one of the best ways to contact me until I get my website where I want it to be. That's the best place to hit me up. I got a link tree there too that I also take you to everything that I have there.
Okay. How can people get your book, Why Men Cheat?
I need to make sure that I still have it on my Amazon Prime. But it's not Amazon Prime. It should still be on Amazon. And I should have the link in my link tree as well. If not, I'll update it and make sure that link is in my up tree. I mean, it's on my link tree on my Instagram.
Okay. Well, again, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. I know we missed our first time getting together. And I'm glad that you did decide to, you know, get up and do it again.
Yeah, no doubt. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. So, again, this is another episode of The Voice Behind the Pen. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Good night.